Ladies and fellas, and welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast. It's your boy B-Rack alongside Dan Dutton.
What up?
What's going on?
Shoot, chilling, dude. Actually, we just got our wedding photos back. We were just looking through them. They look nice, dude.
I saw Jessica post something on the Instagram, man. Those came out really, really well.
Yeah, brought a little tear to our eyes.
I wanted to post, you know what I wanted to say on the photos, right?
Thanks to the invite?
No. Nope.
Then I don't know.
I was going to say those photos seem way too good to be legal.
Oh, shoot. See the permit?
Those photos look like they were taken unpermitted.
As family friend, we don't need a permit, right?
Okay. That's what they tell you.
Fucking narc.
Can't wait for that bill.
Straight from the county themselves. A stiff $50 bill.
Yeah, those came out awesome. Even Luke's reaction to his singular photos, I like those.
Yeah.
Very candid moments.
Yeah, he thought it was his day. He just ran around having the best time of his life with everybody around.
It was about him.
Every day is.
So, that episode, if you guys are listening to this now, that episode should already be up the Sunday before, correct?
Yeah.
Because you're doing this.
So, yeah, technically today's Saturday. We'll post it tomorrow.
The 17th.
It's going to be posted. So, yeah. It'll be posted if you listen to this already, if you want to hear about the day and how everything went and why Brian is saying what he's saying.
Yeah. Wait, are you talking about the bee?
Talking about the sketchy photos.
Oh, the photos. Okay, I thought we were talking about the wasp again. My bad.
No, I ain't talking about you beating up wasps anymore.
Yeah, I thought that was the episode before. So we got another special episode today. We got a very fine guest. Long overdue. He's a father of what seems to be every female in the household. Great tattoo artist, a man of God, our boy, Roberto Espinoza. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. That's a pretty nice introduction you gave me there. I was waiting for when you guys were going to introduce me. I didn't know how long y'all
I'm just awkwardly standing here. And
dang, yo, let me in on this.
It's my disorder. No, what the?
I thought this was about me.
So we
had this discussion before when me and Dan had our talks about religion and talks about God, and you reached out to us not too long ago, wanted to do a collab talking about religion, talking about is Jesus real, and a lot of questions that, you know, if you're not into religion or you don't believe in like a higher power, that you may be able to answer. And I know Dan has had some questions here and there, whether he's had to answer himself to other people or that he's had questions himself. So I think this would be a good back and forth between all three of us. Cause I used to study religion, not so much anymore. You know, I still believe in God and all that stuff. I'm just not as invested in it as maybe you or Dan. So I think this would be a good back and forth for us to have.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, pretty much, you know, as far as, you know, where the podcast is going and everything, I know, you know, like you mentioned that I reached out to you probably a couple months ago now, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, dude, like in my mind, I was thinking, you know, man, it'd probably be good to, you know, come prepared, you know, that way I'm like, you know, representing God on a good level here, you know, and I'm not
sure
dirty and sounded ignorant, you know? But dude, in all honesty, man, in all honesty, I did no preparation for this. Like I did no studying, no nothing. I'm just gonna kind of just, I think the best way, dude, to, you know, share about Jesus is to just give, you know, testimony of, you know, your own account of how he's kind of intervened in your own life. And I think that's pretty powerful, dude, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you could spit facts from all different angles, right? We could talk about a million different things, which we can hit on some stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I like hearing, you know, stories that, it gives you the chills, you know? There are certain things that, are just undeniable, you know, truths that, man, there's gotta be a God, you know, there's gotta be, you know, Jesus has to be who he says he is, you know? So,
exactly.
But yeah, dude. So like I said, I didn't really come, prepared with any sort of, you know, I ain't reading off any sheet over here on my end.
Like, I don't know. Screen got eerily black, so I can't really confirm or deny that.
Yeah, I'm sitting in my truck, man.
So I guess to kind of break the ice, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Dan's synopsis of how he got introduced to religion or anything like that, but I was going to send it to you on how did you get introduced to God and Jesus and just your religion and faith in general.
Sorry, were you asking me or Dan that?
Yeah. No, I was asking you.
Okay. So I was actually raised in church. As far as I can remember, like elementary school, you know, I remember going to church at a pretty early age. We had went to a church here in the region. It was called South Lake Nazarene. It's on 30 and 30 in Maryville, kind of before Albany's. And that's actually a church that I go to now still. But yeah, dude, I was kind of, you know, I guess raised in church. But you know, like when you're little, dude, you kind of just go to church cause your parents are taking you, right? Like,
right.
I don't think any child's necessarily emotionally invested in church. At least I wasn't, you know, like I was going there for like the kids' sanctuary and playing games and you know, just hanging out, acting like a fool.
Yeah. And then, you know, that food afterwards.
Yeah.
Going out to lunch or something afterwards.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Boston Market, dude.
I remember Ponderosa. I don't know if anybody ever.
Oh,
knows.
Yeah. Oh,
God. Yeah, that's what we used to do.
The buffet, dude.
Yep. Boston Market, dude. That's where we used to go. We used to get that that cheese spinach, baby. That good stuff. But yeah, so I remember basically we had gone to church pretty consistently, I'd say, up until I got into about middle school, and then, you know, we stopped going for, you know, personal family reasons and stuff. But I remember my parents taking me to see like Passion of the Christ, and I want to say off the top of my head, maybe that, I think that came out like 2004, 2005. So I was like 9 or 10, when I first saw it. And, though I had gone to like church, you know, a million times and stuff like that, I never really, you know, you hear about Jesus numerous times, you know, and all the stories and stuff. But I think for me, you know, just being that young and just watching that movie, for whatever reason, it just stuck with me. Like, I think finally just all the words, all the scripture, like everything was finally just put into a picture for me. And, you know, I'm a visual person, obviously, like, you know, I'm an artist. I do better visually at seeing things, you know, and you know, for me, it was just like, that just came into like, I don't know, it came to life, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking to myself, like, man, it just hit me on another level, you know? And I was just like, man, God, like, if you are real, like, man, I want to live for you. Like, I want to do what I can to, you know, just follow you in the way that, you know, your disciples did, and just, you know, do my part, you know, just kind of do what I can. And you know, when you're young and stuff like that, you don't really know what that means, right? You want to do that, like, you just feel emotional probably from seeing something like that, you know. And so for whatever reason, you know, just it stuck with me, that movie did in particular. But then, you know, come middle school time, you know, like I said, we didn't go to church. And I don't think from middle school, like all the way through high school, I even thought about God, to be honest with you. Like, it kind of just, I don't even think I had a belief in God. You know, and I think truthfully, more towards like my high school years, I kind of had more of like an agnostic, I guess, belief, where I believed maybe there was a higher power, but I just didn't know. And then, you know, there even came a point shortly after like high school where I just kind of had like an atheistic belief that I was like, I don't really think there is anything, you know?
Yeah.
And you kind of just start to question the meaning of life and, you know, what is my purpose here? Like, well, literally, what is the point of being here living if, like, there is no God, you know?
True.
But yeah, so that's kind of a somewhat brief background on how I was introduced to Jesus, Christianity. So,
yeah, I think, like you said, things are too complex and intricately laid out for there not to be like a higher power. And it's just all based off of science. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Take the human body, for example. You always hear conversations of how well-oiled machine it is, how it can repair itself, and just without explanation, like anything short of a miracle. And to me, it's just like that's more than just science to me. Like that's God's doing of, it's way too complex for science to explain, like, hey, these things work the way that they do. There has to be, you know, a chef above per se to like cook all these things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. They talk about like it's so everything's so fine tuned that there has to be like a tuner is like how I've heard it recently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, okay, I think I was kind of similar to you, right? Like, went to church a lot when I was younger. And then middle school, kind of like when I was more like given the choice of like what I wanted to do. Like you said, no kid really wants to go. So it's more like just go on like holidays or like times here and there when I'd stay. It's like my grandma's the one who would take me. And then once you get to like the high school age, I feel like that's when we're probably as people maybe like the most like self-centered. Like we're just trying to do what we want to do. What's going, like we're so, you know, school, maybe thinking about college, obviously, you know, say, thinking about friends, hanging out and stuff like that. Like that's our main, you know, life right there. That's all we're really concerned with.
Yeah.
So what got you back after like having those views, you kind of like, ah, yeah, I don't know. Or maybe even after high school, like what brought you back where you're like, okay, like I'm back. Like I see it now. I feel it now.
So
I'm all in.
Yeah. So truthfully, man, it was around the time where I turned 18. I had my oldest daughter, my senior year in high school, and it was actually, you know, it was actually a little bit before. The atheistic belief that I had was actually before, that wasn't after high school. So it was kind of before her. And, there was a little bit of influence there as well. You know, like I had a, you know, a good friend of mine who had, atheistic beliefs, and it at the time for me, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's because, you know, I had some bitterness going on. I don't know. Like it just made sense. So I remember, dude, just, you know, there was a lot going on in my life at the time, you know, like, I felt like I had a, you know, pretty decent, you know, like potential career, to keep going in wrestling and stuff like that. And, you know, there's just a lot happening. You know, I was going through depression and stuff, and, you know, my parents weren't necessarily in the best place. You know, and my brother and sister were both kind of, you know, they were struggling at the time as well. And, so I didn't really feel like I had a whole lot of direction, man. And I remember being in my car, and, I remember just shooting a prayer up and just kind of being like, you know, God, if you're real, like if you are who you say you are, if you can hear me right now, like I need to know, because like I'm in a dark place, you know, and I'm just miserable. Like, what is the purpose of my life? Like, why am I even here? Like what is anybody's purpose if you're not real? You know what I mean? What are we doing? Like, we just live, pay bills and die. And like, that's it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and I used to think like real in depth about stuff like that. And, I'm just like, man, there's gotta be more. Like, I just know there is. And, so, you know, I just remember in my car, just kind of crying out like that, you know, and just praying and just be like, God, I just need to know you're real. Otherwise, like, I'm kind of, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about maybe, you know, ending it. I don't know. Like, I'm just depressed. Like, I don't see a purpose in life, you know?
Yeah.
And, so no joke, dude, after I had that, that prayer in my car, I want to say it was either the next day or like the day after is when, you know, I had found out I was going to be a dad, and, kind of just shocked me, you know, kind of opened my eyes and he just gave me a, you know, just a motivation, a purpose to, you know, continue this journey in life, you know? And, right. So that was the first, I feel like that was the first time God like showed up in my life when I needed him, you know, and, in kind of a supernatural way, you know, people could say that's coincidental all they want, but like, you know,
you had no indication like prior to that,
right,
that you were going to be a dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were in that dark place, you were reaching out, you know, you're at your all time low. And you're like, I just need any type of sign. And literally within the next 48 hours, you find out, like, you know, you're going to be having a child.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And like, you could, like,
living for some other than yourself.
You could, right. Like, coincidize, like, everything. Like, anytime there's something like that, well, it could just a coincidence. Like, they,
right.
Like, people who, like, if they have conversations with, like, people that don't really believe, it's almost like they are just like, yeah, it's just a coincidence. But, like, when you're in that moment, it's more like, yeah, this just happened. There's, like, you feel something like more than just like, oh yeah, this just happened. It's more like, it's like hard to explain, but it's like, no, like I felt something, not just like this happened, but like how I felt during that like is what makes it, you know, not because
things can always be rationalized or copped up to or chalked up to coincidence. But it's like, listen, because of the position I was in, things were so bleak. And the probability and chances of something happening were astronomically low.
Right.
There was no other explanation other than an outside force that influenced something like this to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why there's the sayings that people say, oh my God, it's a miracle. Like, they say that for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
go ahead.
I mean, that was... Like I said, that was the first time where it boosted my faith, you know, more or less. And I was just kind of like, wow. Okay. You know, like if I didn't need hard evidence now, I mean, that was a faith booster. Not that it was like, you know, hard evidence, but it definitely boosted my faith. So
right.
That's what sparked my, you know, my curiosity again. And just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, obviously I need to know more about you. Like, I need to really invest myself more into this, you know, relationship. And, that's kind of when I honestly, dude, that's when I started going back to church. Kind of just started going back on my own. I started going on Wednesday nights and, got plugged into like a Bible study and stuff like that. So, you know,
nice.
Do you get the, kids involved, or is this more so something that you're doing solo or?
Yeah, no, now, yeah, dude. So Courtney and I, we do our best, man, to raise our girls now, you know, with, biblical values. And, you know, we go to church on Sundays and stuff. And, you know, we read them their Bibles. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, dude. Like, even though, you know, my parents fell off during my middle school years, you know, the Bible says you train a child in the way you go and they'll never depart from it. And, you know, it's because you're planting a seed, you know, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, the Bible says that God's the one that waters that seed. And so when we were younger, that's kind of what my parents did, right? They raised us up in church, and though I strayed from it, I came back to it. And, you know, there's so many cool testimonies I've heard from numerous people, dude, where, you know, they were raised in church, fell off, went down some dark paths, dude, but then made their way back. And it's just cool. It's just, you know, kind of proves God's promise, you know, in the Bible that, you know, that if you train them right, you know, they'll come back to it. So.
Yeah. 'Cause that seed was already planted, like you said, you know, even though, your parents and whoever didn't really follow through with it in your middle school and high school years because you were introduced so early, that was always there until it kind of resurfaced, you know, like you said, around when you were 18.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but yeah, like I said, you know, Courtney and I, we do our best, man. That's our life right now is, you know, just doing what we can to make sure our girls are, you know,
strong, raised the right way,
strong morally, and
yeah, that's good. That's what I'm gonna be trying to do with Luke and Annie when she gets here, because I feel like maybe for the same way you said you've heard a lot of testimonies. I just feel like, you know, similar to you when you said you were going through like depression. When I came back, and I was having like anxiety a lot, and that's kind of what brought me back. But I feel like as a world, like anxiety and depression is getting like more and more prominent. And maybe not. Maybe it's always been around, and people are just talking about it more. But I kind of feel like it's more and more. And maybe I think part of that is because I feel like as like a society, we're straying further and further away from God. That like when you don't have that, like anxiety and depression creep in a lot easier than when you have that like solid foundation of like faith, like of a higher power, of like a higher good.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like you said, you just felt like, what's the point? Like that feeling of like, what's the point? Easily lets, you know, anxiety, depression seep in.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you know, I mean, dude, truthfully, a couple years ago, you know, I was getting these really bad anxiety attacks, man. And, I would say, you know, I've been back and forth for the last like 10 years, you know, with my faith, and I've always kept God, you know, in my life, but there were times when I turned away, and, you know, I didn't want anything to do with it. And, I would say 2 years ago is when I like legitimately, I was like, you know what, you know, I can't keep going back and forth, you know, and I was just like, I gotta just commit. I gotta keep going. I gotta follow you. And, you know, I would get super hard on myself, you know, anytime that I felt like I slipped up, you know, bad enough. And, you know, something I thought was like a, you know, terrible sin. I was just like, man, I'm not even worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not gonna amount to the calling on my life, you know, that he has. And, you know, it was all just, it's just lies, you know, from the enemy. And, dude, so anxiety, you know, like a couple years ago, dude, I was getting these really bad anxiety attacks. And man, I remember this was when I wasn't a Christian. This was when I wasn't, you know, living right for God. And, you know, if you think about it, dude, the absolute worst thing that can happen, right, when you're having an anxiety attack is, you know, maybe you're not going to die, but that's what it feels like, right? You feel like the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to die. So you start to panic, you freak out, you don't know what's going on. You know, you start getting these weird, almost kind of like an outer body type, like, dang, you know, and you start, your heart starts going, dude, you get the cold sweats, and you're like, shoot. And then you're wondering, like,
we talked about this too.
Yeah, dude. And you're like wondering, you're like, shoot, am I like having a little heart attack right now or what? Like, am I, you know, am I about to go out right now on the couch, you know?
For real.
And what's scary about that is because in that moment, that's when you realize like, oh crap, like I don't know what happens after this. You're scared of the unknown. That's why it's so scary. Like, oh crap. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know what's, but when you have like, when you can have confidence that, you know, there is an afterlife, you know, that, you know, Jesus' promises are true, that, you know, things are going to be okay. It's like those panic attacks, at least for me, dude, they were like gone. As soon as I was like, I started having those panic attacks real bad. I was just like, you know what? I got to be real with myself. I was like, that was another thing where I kind of cried out to God. And I was like, you know what? I'm afraid to die. Like, I'm just admit it. And I've said, you know, I've been a terrible man. You know, I've sinned, you know, I've fallen short. And, you know, I said, but if you can give me another shot, like if you can just help me out here, you know, and, it was kind of one of those things like, you know, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you, you know? And obviously that wasn't probably the right mindset, but,
right.
You, when you're desperate, dude, you're just kind of like, you know, God, give me a little more time here, you know? And, so it was like right after that, man, I just stopped having panic attacks. Like the panic anxiety attacks, they just went away. Like I just, I don't know what it's hard to describe, I guess, but I just had like this, internal peace, you know, this peace of mind, just knowing that if the absolute worst happened, that if I died, like I'm good. I know I'm right with God, you know?
Right.
But yeah,
I think, that living with that peace, dude, just makes life so much better. Like you're just like happy. I feel like when it happened to me, I just felt like I'm happy all the time. Like obviously like you have hard times, tough times that you gotta get through, but it's like I said, the end of that worst case, like I'm still in a good spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had a chance, as like Brian said, he didn't send it to you, but I don't know if you end up listening to our episode when I talked about like how I was going through anxiety and stuff.
No, I did not. I did not.
Yeah, so yeah, it was like similar. I say I had like a, I don't know, call it like a near death experience, kind of freaked me out. But
yeah,
and it was like kind of a weird time because it was like peak, like questionable COVIDness time. Like nobody knows what's going on. They're locking everything down.
Yeah.
And then there's like riots, and like I was living in the city at the time. Like people were like burning stuff down. So it's just like a lot of weird stuff going on at the same time.
Oh yeah.
And like the media, everything's just pumping out death, 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 death. Like, this people are dying for COVID. COVID's killing. Like, don't leave the house. You're going to die. So, like, I started, like, you know, having, sometimes, you know, like, I was getting anxiety real bad, not knowing about, like you said, like, not knowing afterwards dying. And, you know, I would, like, pray here and there, but I don't think I was, like, fully, in, like, in it. And I was on, like, TikTok, too. And it's, like, it could either be good or bad. TikTok sometimes, you know, send you down a bad rabbit hole and freak you out even more, or sometimes it sends you what you want to see. And I had never got like Christian related stuff until like I was like praying and stuff, and I started getting Christian TikToks, and I started following pages and like, you know, getting more of the word in, just like even being on my phone and just praying a lot. And like similar to you, I was having like, I'd call it anxiety attacks, but I was like, it would happen every morning at 5 a.m. I could be dead asleep and I would wake up heart racing 5 a.m. like freaking the fuck out, like something crazy's happened, like I'm about to die, and I'm like, I'd have to go, like I would just like get out of bed and like sit on the toilet, just like sit there like trying to like calm myself down and try to get myself like go back to sleep. And sometimes I would, sometimes I wouldn't. Luckily, like I said, it was still like COVID time, so I didn't have to go to like the office for work. I worked remote, so I would just, you know, I worked whenever I wanted at home. But it was like happening consistently. Like I even had to start taking, like I was trying to take like medication to help me sleep because I couldn't fall asleep. I'd get anxious as soon as I would lay down because I knew 5 a.m. I'm going to jump up. Yeah. And it kept happening. Every morning I'd go outside with the dogs because it was like summertime, so it was nice out. I would take the dogs outside where they would run around. I would pray every morning. And then at night I'd take them out. I'd pray every night. And I just kept saying, like, I need help. Like, this isn't helping. You know, I talked to a therapist. The therapist helped me a bit to, like, be able to control the thoughts as they started to run away. They gave me like some help there, but honestly, it was like I had a dream, and I think that's the dream I had, that I've talked about before, is what like brought me back, and I was like, I'm good. Like, I stopped, like, the dream was like, you know, like, something was going on, like, in the world. Like, there was, like, a catastrophic event. Like, we were running out of oxygen is what, like, my dream was. Like, everybody's about to die at the same time. Like, we're all out of here. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, freaking out in my dream. But I just went and stood outside. I was like, all right, well, it's about to happen. It's going to happen. So in my dream, like, I remember not being able to breathe. And then, like, everything going black. And then waking up in, like, a different, like, neighborhood. Like, a really nice looking neighborhood. And everything was, like, real bright. And everybody was just, like, outside. Everybody was, like, clean looking. We're all walking around. And, like, the feeling was, like just love. Like, that's all. It was just love and happiness. Like, everybody I seen, I loved them. And I didn't even know who they were. And I knew they loved me. And I was like, this is, I think, what, like, heaven feels like. Like, I don't really know you like that. But, like, I love you. And, like, you love me. And it was, like, pure happiness. And I woke up, like, in tears. And I was like, that was it. Like, I've been asking, like, God to help me, you know, somehow. And, like, let me know he's there. And, like, that to me was it. And I was like, that's it. Like, I'm good. Like, and I never had any. Like, I get, you know, anxiety comes every now and then, like, in a small wave. And it's like, yeah, out of here in a couple minutes. Like, I'm never, like, it's not like I never felt anxious again in my life, but
right.
I stopped waking up early, like, out of nowhere. I sleep fine. Like, I never had any issues with that. Never had, like, a panic, like, an anxiety attack that, like, took me down. And after that, it was just after that, I just felt like it was God telling me, like, you're good, man. Like, this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I felt great after that, like, that peace of mind that, okay, I can relax. Like, whatever's going to happen here, it's going to happen, but I'm going to be all right.
You know what's awesome, man, is, like, you know, one, especially in the New Testament, God speaks to people through dreams so often, you know. He spoke to Mary in a dream, telling her, hey, you're going to conceive a son, it's going to be Jesus, you know. And he spoke to Joseph, saying, you know, Mary's going to, you know, conceive a son birthed through the Holy Spirit. And there's just been time and time again, God speaks through dreams. And I feel like that's one of the easiest ways to communicate with God, or for him to communicate with us, at least. Because, man, there's been so many times where I have had prophetic dreams that have actually come to pass. And dreams kind of like you spoke on, where I've seen, you know, heaven, more or less, you know, in certain aspects of the dreams. And dude, we'll touch on that more, maybe in a bit, but we could circle back to that or another time. But yeah, dude, I can go on about dreams that I've had that are pretty gnarly, man, that have you know, actually happened. So
yeah, I'll share one more with you from that same episode, just because, I mean, you started pretty much saying that you love hearing these type of stories. So it's kind of after that dream, and like I said, when I was around that same time, when I was still, like, you know, looking, like, I had that dream, anxiety was gone, but then it was still, like, it was like the Bible says something, like, the closer you get to God, the more the devil tries to work on you, and I felt that, like, every day I'd wake up, like, with all these questions, like, am I, like, still doubt? Like, I believed, but then I'd have these doubts. And, you know, I remember one morning I was in the shower, and just praying, like, I'm tired of these feelings of doubt. Like, it was just been a lot lately. And, I was like praying, I was like, I know I had that dream, I feel great about it, but if you could show me yourself just one more time, like, I just want to see you somehow, or, a message of something. And what I didn't know, like, we went to my now wife's family's house, and they had a friend of the family come over, and he had COVID real bad, where he got put on a ventilator, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And he was telling us the story. And that same day, I was praying for something, and he's really religious also, but in his story, he says that he could hear them talking, like, yeah, it's not looking good, he's not going to make it. And then it went black for him. And then he said he ended up being somewhere on, like, in, like, a wide open field. It was real bright, and he could see, like, a man on a horse in the distance, like, this white horse, this white figure, and, like, other horses and figures, like, near, but he couldn't make out faces or anything. And then it just came riding up to him. And he said he couldn't, like, make out, like, the face of what it was. It was just real bright. But he took it as God or Jesus. And he just looked at him and was like, it's not your time. Go back. And then he woke up in the hospital, like, with a tube in his throat, and he's, like, trying to, like grab the nurse, like, hey, I'm up, like, hey, you know? And they're like, oh, my God, like, he woke up. Like, they didn't think he was going to wake up. And then, you know, now he's fine. He's back to normal pretty much. And he comes to tell us that story, and I'm just, like, holding back tears in their living room because I was like, dude, I was literally just asking for something. Like, we had no idea this dude was coming over. And,
yeah.
I was like, I asked twice, and I've gotten answers. Like,
and of course, you'll have somebody that maybe wants to look at it from a scientific perspective. You know, maybe if there was evidence that showed, like, oh, well, you know, this person's numbers pertain to this, and this would show signs that he'll be able to make it out, or he'll get out of here. But like you mentioned in the story, things were so bleak, and they've already stated, like, hey, just looking at his results so far and physically how he's responding, it's not looking good. He's probably not going to come out of it. And the only other evidence and explanation you have is from his mouth, what he saw in the moment, and all of a sudden he just wakes up. It's just there is nothing that you can say to kind of dispute that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like the time frame was like, in him it was just like that quick dream, but he was like out for a while, like I don't know how many days, but
yeah,
to him it was like he heard that, fell asleep, had that, you know, encounter, and then was back up, and they're like, oh yeah, it's been, you know, like a week or something, however long, however many days it was, I don't know, but
yeah,
that's crazy.
See,
and you can, yeah, people can say like, oh well, that's just a cool, like you can coincidize, like I said, everything. You're like, you know. So I don't know if you've
heard that scenario. I don't know how you could.
Right, that's true. But like, you know, being an engineer, like I'm around a lot of people that are like science based. You know, all everything's science. Is it proven? Can I see it? Can I test it? Stuff like that. Which is like, I mean, I think science and God go hand in hand. It's to me, it's a little more obvious than to like other people. They think it's more like God versus science, and it's like God created this place. He is science. Like, he's not like, you can't use science.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without him, you know what I mean? And it's like, I've heard a lot of times from like people growing up, even in like college when we'd have debates, it's like, well, you know, people have created religion as a way to feel comfortable with death. Instead of living in anxiety and living in fear, they created religion. They make up a God so that life is more comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I've heard that, and I've honestly, there was a, you know, like I said, when I had kind of like the atheistic belief system, you know, I kind of, that thought had ran through my mind. Okay, well, maybe Christianity was just formed, you know, kind of like for the masses, right? Or you know, as a comfort thing, you know. But the Bible has proven itself to be the most historically accurate book of its time. And, you know, if you, so let's take like an atheistic approach, you know, towards, Christianity, right? You know, I, for instance, if when I share my faith, most of the time when I share my faith with people who are around our age, predominantly it's males, you know, I'm not gonna lie. It's,
yeah.
But probably the most common response I get is, dude, I don't need religion to just, you know, be a good person. I don't need Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to be a good person. So, you know, and I understand that, you know, like I get it. I get the concept behind it and where they're going with it. But, you know, if you think in depth, you know, a little more into it, like what is good? You know, if okay,
absolutely.
You say you have to be okay. Well, I don't need religion. You just got to be a good person. Okay. Well, what is a good person? Like, what? How do you define good then? Where do you like, what's your standard? What do you stand off of? Like, where's your moral foundation? Like, where are you getting good from?
And it's got to be consistent across the board. You know, right. There is no. Well, it's whatever. I feel like it's like the new age thing to go to. It's like, well, it's whatever you want it to be. No, there isn't. There is a standard definition of what the term good means.
Right. Right. Because, you know, let's say we have somebody with more of like an atheistic belief system, and then, you know, they say, you know, just be a good person, man. You know, and you kind of rebuttal with, okay, well, you know, let's say, you know, some guy shot and killed somebody you love, you know, to mm-hmm. what standard then do you want them to be, you know, punished for, you know? And it's just like, well, you would ask him, you know, do you think that they should be punished? And like, you know, what's the penalty for that? You know, and they'd, right. they'd probably be like, oh, well, yeah, jail, dude, put that guy in jail for life.
Right.
Like, I want that dude put away. Like, that's wrong. Okay, well, why is that wrong? You know, because you don't have a belief system or like any moral foundation to stand on. So why is that wrong? Maybe.
Right.
Because it's as deep as you want it to go. You know, your definition of good or what's wrong, you don't have one, right? You don't have anything to stand on. You don't believe in anything. So it's just a free for all. So is he wrong Absolutely. For doing that? You know?
Yeah. Because what if he's a good person outside of that one act? Does he still get a pass? You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. So that's kind of where it's like it gets debunked almost. You know what I mean? There's just nothing really strong to stand on when you have the atheistic approach to, you know, the afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of felt that way at times where you kind of just think and you're like, you said earlier, is our sole purpose just we just grow up, we work, pay bills, and then we die? Like there has to be way, way more to life than that. Things, outer space, the ocean, the human body is way too complex to live just a simple life and then just be in the dirt, you know?
Yeah.
So
don't get me started on space.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever, man. Go ahead and go out to space right now, dude. Tell me if you survive. Tell me that's not space.
Dude, space is fake.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go out there, bro. I'm waiting.
There's a firmament, dude. He ain't going out to
space, I'm waiting, bro.
I'm gonna keep working in my career. I'm gonna make it to NASA. And then I'm gonna tell everybody they're lying.
Whatever. Roberto, where do you feel like ever since you've reconnected and established a stronger connection to your faith, where do you feel like it's impacted your life the most? Whether that be you as a father, husband, your personal temperament and how you handle things, maybe it's your day-to-day lifestyle in terms of exercise or maybe even dieting. Like, where do you feel like it's impacted you the most?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's one specific area, because there's been so many things that it's changed. Like it's literally changed my life, in so many aspects. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I still, you know, there are days where I struggle, and I think, you know, if you're going to walk with God, you know, it's biblical, you're going to have trials, right? And, mm-hmm. but it's how you handle them. You know, if I came to Jesus, you know, let's say, you know, I'm a new Christian, you know, and, you know, I give my life to the Lord. Well, I mean, what kind of Christian do you think you'd be if everything you just, if you just thought everything was going to be a cakewalk for the next however many years? Cause you know, I'm a Christian, life's kosher now, everything's good.
Cause then everyone would be doing it,
right?
Especially if the result was everlasting life at the end of the day.
Right. And it's not like that. You know, and Jesus says, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, you got to die to yourself every day. You got to pick up your cross and follow me. He says, you know, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not fit to follow me. And, you know, it's being more intentional every day, mm-hmm. With what you're doing with your, you know, your actions, your words. And, dude, I mean, there are things, trials that I've experienced in the last year that I would have handled completely differently a few years ago, dude, when I wasn't, you know, living for the Lord. Although in my head, like I knew God was real. I wasn't living for him. Cause there's a difference between acknowledging that God is real and then living for God, you know?
Right.
And so, for instance, like I could use this as an example. You know, a year ago when my wife and I, moved down to Southern Indiana, you know, one of my buddies had gotten the head pastor position at a church, and, I was going to move. We moved down there, and, you know, I was going to help him out with, being kind of running the teenage youth, kind of getting involved with that and helping lead worship music at the church and stuff. So it was crazy how everything lined up and how we got down there in the first place. Like, I knew through dreams, prophetic dreams and stuff like that, that this was going to happen. And not only that, but one thing that's like super crazy about this, was a few months prior to us moving down there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends who's a Christian, he was down there visiting the pastor, Donnie, because, you know, they're friends also. He was down there visiting. And when he was down there visiting, he said, man, he pretty much said, like, I see like opportunity down here for Berto. And he said a prayer for me. He's like, God, I want you to move Berto down here. And so 3 months later, dude, I'm moving down there. And I remember I called him and I said, hey, dude, you know, Courtney and I, we're going to end up moving down to Southern Indiana. And he's like, no way. And he's like, dude, that's crazy. He's like, I said a prayer that you guys would move down there. And so like that was pretty wild in itself, you know. Stuff like that clearly doesn't happen, you know. So trials now, when we moved down there, we had a house already ready to go that we were going to rent. It was like this old kind of Victorian style home, beautiful home, dude. And it was, you know, 4-bedroom, a couple bathroom. It was a real nice home. And we get down there and there's some stuff that we had noticed about the house that, you know, we kind of wasn't brought to our attention. And because we're so far, we had kind of just spoke with the person through Facebook, and we had mutual friends. So it wasn't like we were talking to like a complete stranger, you know. We kind of, we knew what we were getting into and like who the, you know, the people sort of were. So right. It wasn't like completely blind here. So anyways, there was stuff like in the house that just, for instance, you know, like in the master bedroom, dude, there was what looks like could be a huge leak in the ceiling, 'cause the corner of the walls were like wet. And
yeah.
And so, you know, there was other stuff too that was pretty major concerns, you know what I mean? So we called the homeowner and we were like, hey, you know, there's some stuff that's kind of concerning. We just want you to check it out and see what you think, blah blah blah. And so in our minds, you know, right, everything's going good, it's smooth, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking, man, like this is it, God, like, you know, clearly there's something you want me to do down here. And, you know, things are going pretty smooth right now. Like this is easy. And then, you know, that day comes and we're moving in. And, so I had moved, like we had moved everything into this house, dude. And this is a 2-story house. So like getting all of our furniture and everything to the upstairs bedroom, setting it up. Like I set up the bed, the crib, like I set up everything, dude, the bunk beds for the girls, like everything was set up. And, you know, we had saw this stuff. We called the homeowners just so they could come and check it out. And, no joke, dude. So it turned sour, and like the homeowner took offense to us addressing some of the things that were wrong with the house. And he thought we were kind of just being like nitpicky. And so
pretty serious.
So yeah, dude, he pretty much just said, he's like, look, I'm just going to cut my losses now. You guys could leave tonight. And, dude, so the,
wow.
I remember like,
this is when you first got there, right? Like yep, this was like the first dude, place you guys were living in.
Yeah. We moved in. We were there for like a couple hours, dude. We were there for a couple hours and then they came and, you know, we showed him the things that were wrong, and he was just like, he's like, yeah, man, you know, I'm going to cut my losses now. And just, if you guys are going to complain about this stuff, then, you know, it's like, you guys can move out and, we'll just call it a wash. He's like, 'cause I'm not doing this. And so, dude, like wow. Courtney's parents are there, right? All the girls are just playing around. You know, and in my mind too, like, man, like, first of all, it's pretty savage. You know, my whole family's sitting right here. Just, you know, like, kick a, hey, like, bro, at least take me outside and tell me, hey, I
for real.
No, dude.
It's not his first time delivering bad news in public.
Right. Yeah. So, honestly, man, you know, a few years ago, I think the old me would have just completely snapped. Like, I would have
fought that guy.
Oh, yeah, dude. There would have been some choice work. Like, I wouldn't have handled that well. But, see, the old things pass away, all things become new, right? Through Jesus. So, you know, in my mind, dude, I was just like, you know what? You know, it's the devil is tries to throws you off the path, right? And, you know,
right.
And there's also things that do come, dude, that maybe it's also God, you know, trying to see, you know, where you're at. How much more can I trust you with? You know, if I'm going to give you a little bit here, a little bit there, like I got to see what I can trust you with. Right. That's the whole point
right.
of trials. That's what it says in the Bible. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind, because you know that when the testing of your faith is put to work, then it produces endurance. And so right away, dude, I just said nothing. It was like I was just mute, said nothing. And I went right upstairs, dude. And like, you know, he said his piece, he left. And I knew right away, dude, I was just like, all right, well, on to the next thing. So my buddy, who's the pastor, him and his wife were actually there with their kids. And, you know, they were helping us move and stuff. And, you know, he was just kind of blown away too about what just happened. And dude, I went right upstairs after all that hard work of putting everything together, moving everything in, took everything right down. We all moved everything out and back into the trailer. And, you know, my buddy Donnie, he ended up letting us stay in his house, dude, before we could find a home down there. And, you know, damn. Like, dude, so yeah, that was, dude, it was like, there was like trials and miracles all going on within that year. But I think, you know, we needed that, dude, because it just boosted our faith even more. And, you know, it really helped my wife and I even just grow like in our faith together and just have a deeper understanding of God and just what we're really getting into. You know, when you say you're going to follow Jesus, you know, that it comes with a cost. And so that was a little taste of, you know, our first trial when we moved down there. And, I could tell you a little more about, you know, the miracle that happened and how we even got our house.
Yeah, go on.
So, you know, we get kicked out of there, right? So we're living with Donnie and Bree now. Which, like is mentioned before, he was the pastor and, you know, that's his wife. So, they told us, dude, right after that incident, he's like, dude, well, you could move in with us until you guys find something else. And so
yeah.
We were living with them, man. I want to say it was for, honestly, it was, I think for a couple months. And
really,
dude, like we were looking hard for a house to like rent, buy, whatever. Like we just, whatever. We just needed
something,
you know, something, dude. And I just knew, I was like, man, there's gotta be a reason we're here. You know, I was just like, I'm not sure why, but there's gotta be something, you know, whether it's big or whether it's small, you know, but there's purpose for it. And, so dude, we're looking for a house and it basically, dude, it's coming down to like a couple weeks. I was going to give it like a couple more weeks and I was about at my like wit's end. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, you know, if this doesn't pan out, you know, if I can't find something, then that's whatever. We're going to move back home.
Yeah.
And, I had already been like super blessed with being hooked up with a job and, you know, and it was a salary gig and it paid pretty well, man, for basically doing like, I was answering like a phone and helping, you know, pull some Jeep parts off of some Jeeps and stuff like that. Man, it was nothing hard, but I was getting a pretty generous salary
yeah.
from somebody. And so like that was a blessing in itself, right? And so you know, anyways, dude, this person, I'm not gonna mention their name or anything. I'm just gonna kind of keep them confidential and a nobody. But so somebody had asked me, you know, as we're house looking, and they had just asked, you know, hey, how's house going, house hunting going? Like, oh man, I mean, there's like nothing for sale here, you know, and nothing to rent, and basically like anything like worth a lick. I just said, like, look, to be honest, man, I've made a lot of money, you know, in the past tattooing, but I pretty much, I've blown a lot of it. Like, I've got nothing to show for it, dude. Like,
yeah.
You know, I got a little bit of money, but the kind of down payment we need, I was just like, it's just not, I was like, I don't think it's going to happen, you know? And, so I just said, I was like, you know, there was a house we looked at, but, I just said, truthfully, man, I don't think, you know, I'm going to be able to swing it. And so
they're
like, oh, okay. And so prior to this conversation, like I said, I was at kind of my wit's end here. And I remember telling God, I was just like, look, if you want me here, you got to show up again. Like, I need a miracle, because I'm losing hope here. Like, I'm my face kind of dwindling, and you know, I don't want to look like an idiot. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, you got to show up. Like, you had to have sent me here. And so after I prayed that, dude, it was for real. It was like a couple days later that this conversation happened with this person, and they had, you know, they asked how house hunting was going and stuff like that. And I pretty much just told them, I was like, yeah, like, dude, they want, like, you know, it was like $10,000 down payment on a house and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, like, that's just not, you know, I was realistically, I don't have that kind of money, and it's just not going to work out. And, no joke, dude. After I told him that, it took him like 30 seconds. They like just kind of stood there and looked at me, and took them like 30 seconds. And they're like, you want that house? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, like, we need a house. And he's like, okay, I'm going to just give you the money for the house. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, what?
And how well do you know this person?
Not well. We've only known them a couple months.
Wow.
And so, yeah, not well at all, dude. Definitely not. I mean, it's...
Is this somebody from like the church or like, that's crazy.
I know, crazy. Dude. Like I said, I want to keep them kind of confidential. I don't know, for whatever reason, if this podcast ever reached millions
reach them.
Viewers, you know what I mean? I don't want to like bust them out there. But yeah,
but obviously this is coming from someone that, I mean, no one even, no offense to Dan, closest homies, it's like, we all say, if you ever need anything, like,
yeah,
I'll help you no matter what and stuff. Yep. But you never imagine that day's going to happen. And the very last person you expect to possibly help you is someone that you really don't know all that well.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. And it was God showing up again. And, it was just, it's one of those miracles, dude. Like, you just, like I said, we've barely known the people a couple months, you know, if that, and then for them to just, you know, do that, you know, that's just, you don't hear that. And, like, dude, even if you'd known somebody for 10 years, like, to fork over that kind of money, like, that's, you know, sure, what I mean? So, like,
Brian, yeah. Getting that from,
yeah. Hey, Brian, I love you, dude. Like, hey, for real, like, I'd die for you, dude. But if you came to me and, like,
10 G's, bro.
You need 10 G's?
I'm like, shoot, me too, brother. Me too.
Oh, hey, yeah. For real, dude. Like, I'm like, Brian, Abe, I mean, look, I love you.
But you're like, hold on a second. Yeah. Is this thing on?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
But
no, I'll circle back to what we were talking about being a good person. You know what I'm saying? Like this guy clearly was an anomaly that God used him in his works to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say I'm a good person. Does that mean I'm not good because I didn't want to give 10 G's to somebody? That person separated themselves from the rest of the field, and that's through God's work.
Right.
It's crazy. My man went home and his wife was like, "You did what?"
Yeah, dude. Just with how fortunate.
You did what?
Yeah, dude, for real. Like, it's crazy. So, you know what else happened? We were in a spot, you know, where I had taken a pay cut. That had happened. And, dude, not only that, but it was like a couple weeks later, Courtney and I, we had been given some more money. This was through family. That was unexpected. We weren't expecting it at all. And it was a nice little chunk of change too, man. And it was like just such good timing, you know? And, there have been time, and I don't want to like say this to bring any sort of, like attention to my wife and I, like anyway, and I don't want to like say this for the wrong reason. So don't take this the wrong way, but like there have been numerous times, dude, to where we have, even if we don't have it, one thing we like to do is we like to bless other people, like financially, like if we can help it, you know, we like doing that. And, it's not for the reward of it. It's just a good feeling to do that. And, I guess one thing that comes from that, you know, biblically speaking is, you know, God says, test me in generosity. And God says you can't outgive me. And, cause when you give to people, God, you know, he'll bless you. And that doesn't always mean financially, you know?
Right.
Cause that can kind of get tricky too. That's where like that prosperity gospel thing, comes into play, which, you know, can be completely corrupt. And, if you have the mindset of, oh, I hope God blesses me if I give this to somebody, well, then you're giving for the wrong reasons, cause you're doing it out of a selfish motive. But, you know, if you're giving to somebody and you're just like, man, I just hope that blesses them, you know, and like that's your mentality, then that's when God does work, you know, and that's when God shows up for you when you need it, you know.
Because I think like for you or for you guys and for a lot of us, we know what it feels like to be blessed unexpectedly and like that feeling that it brings. Yep. So in return, like you said, because the Bible and it's in scripture tells you to do so, this is the way that you have to live or that you should be living, is that you want to be able to bless other people, even if you don't have the means to bless yourself in that moment. And yeah, in scripture, it'll tell you, hey, you know, test me through blessings. So there might be someone out there doing it for the wrong reasons. Like, oh, I'm just going to continue to bless people because I want the end result of receiving endless blessings.
Right.
But that's not your guys' mindset. You're just doing it. And at the end of the day, if you happen to get blessed by God by another means in the future, then so be it. If not, it didn't matter. You did what you were going to do, whether you were going to get blessed or not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, what's cool is that the very first time. So when I first heard that preached to me in the Bible, I want to say, I think I was like 21 or 22. And, I was single at the time. And, I remember I heard at church that being preached where, where God said that you can't outgive me, you know? And, so I remember like just thinking about that. And and at the time too, like I just wanted to see, I was just like, you know, what does that even mean? Like what, like you can't outgive God. You know,
yeah.
And, so I remember I had gone to the city, my dad had worked at the city, in Chicago at the time, and I went out to the city for I think me and maybe like one of my old friends or something had gone out there.
Yeah.
And so anyways, dude, I didn't have much money, you know. I maybe had like $500 to my name, but I remember just kind of going around, and I was just praying with like homeless people and stuff, and just kind of hanging out with them, you know? And
yeah,
I remember I basically just cleared my bank account that day, dude. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to like bless a bunch of homeless people. And my mindset behind it was like, well, I know for sure, like I'm going home later and like I have a bed to sleep and I got food. I got stuff, you know, I have stuff, you know, these people don't have anything. And,
yeah,
I remember like I cleared my bank account, and also do you like, I also don't want to, like I said, I'm not saying this to make myself sound like, you know, this Maya and Heidi person, like I'm just giving a testimony of something that happened.
Right.
So, you know, I cleared my bank account, dude, I think it was like $500 maybe. And, you know, I just kind of dispersed it the best I could, dude. Any homeless person I saw, which, you know, if you've been to Chicago, you know, there's tons of homeless people, dude. So I'd give, you know, $50 here, $100 here, you know, and just kind of dished it out, dude, until I pretty much went home with empty pockets. And, no joke, dude, a week later, I had went to this little, Greek restaurant called Baja's in Crown Point. With a gentleman from church. He had asked if I wanted to go and get breakfast. I was like, yeah, that'd be cool, you know? And, so it was kind of random. I didn't really know why. And, you know, so he was one of the guys that I went to Bible study with. So,
okay.
You know, he asked if I wanted to get breakfast and I was like, yeah, you know, that's cool. So we were at breakfast and he was talking to me, and then towards the end of breakfast, he pulls out this envelope and he's like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know, my wife and I have been praying for a few weeks. And, he's like, you know, we've been asking God, you know, who could we bless? You know, who could I give this money to that it would really bless? And he's like, and you know, God laid it on our hearts and, you know, you came to our mind. And, so dude hands me an envelope, man. And it had like $2,500 in it. So, yeah, super crazy, dude, right? And
overwhelming.
Yeah, like, I mean, if that alone, like, doesn't boost your faith or curiosity in God and who Jesus is, dude, like, I don't know what will. Because that stuff just doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
It does not, dude. It doesn't. You know, like you said, when you were emptying your pockets completely for the homeless and stuff like that, you know, it may have led you up to that moment, you know, unknowingly. You're just doing it out of the goodness of your heart. You're like, I have a place to sleep at night. I'm going to go home and I'll have food. You know, these guys won't have anything. You know, let me try and bless them. It's just, there is no other explanation other than that that's God's working.
Yeah.
That is wild. That's great. Daniel, you got anything to add there, my brother?
Dude, I have, this episode can go on for hours.
It can. Honestly, can. I was already debating like a part two.
Yeah, I mean, dude, so you know what came to my mind there is a recent like story I had heard. Not to get on like the blessings of money, because you know, truthfully, like, yes, God can bless you financially, but there's so much more to God blessing your life other than finances. But a really cool story that I got that came to mind. If you guys are familiar with Phil Robertson, he was the CEO of Duck Commander.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he was on a show called Duck Dynasty, right? And truthfully, like, that dude is probably one of my biggest spiritual mentors. Like, I look up to that dude a ton. There's just like a lot of things in common that I feel like I have with him, and just I don't know, just clicked. And so anyways, dude, he had an episode of it was called Into the Woods, Maltree, a hunting company had come out with it, and so it was on YouTube, and he had given a testimony. He was talking about, you know, his faith and stuff and God, and when him and Miss K first got Duck Commander going, his first year in business, I think he said he made like $6,000, and basically the dude didn't have, you know, nothing to his name, and
yeah,
he was getting bills coming in, and so he was traveling, dude. He was actually traveling to like all different Walmarts in his area, and like throughout, actually, I believe he was traveling to like different states too, like going to Walmarts trying to get his duck call on the shelves to sell. And mm-hmm. So he finally ends up kind of getting a little bit of a break, and you know, he's selling more duck calls. Well, he's not making a bunch of money, and he gets a bill that comes in for like $600 from the bank. And he had put the bill off for a while, to finally where the bank's just kind of like, hey, you know, you got to pay up. And
right,
he was going to go I believe that how the story goes here is he was going to go to the bank to ask for like a little bit, like a pardon or an extension, if you will.
Yeah.
And he had one day left to do it. So they're walking, basically the next morning, they're walking out to their car. Him and Miss K are walking down the driveway. They're going out to the car because they're getting ready to go to the bank. And Phil's like, you know what? He's like, we should just check the mailbox. And Kay's like, why do you want to check the mailbox? Like, what do you think is going to be in the mailbox? You know? And he's like, I don't know. I just feel like maybe we should just check the mailbox and see what happens. And, so they go to the mailbox, and Phil pulls out a white envelope. He said he raised it in the air. So he could kind of see what it read in the sunlight. And it was a check from Tokyo. And so he opens up the check, and it was a check written out to him for like $615 from the Bank of Tokyo. They wanted him, they basically sent him a check for a bunch of pre-order and duck calls.
Okay.
And he needed $600 to pay off his debt, and he had $15 to spare, like the very last day that it was like due. And that story, I mean, it gave me chills, dude, because it was just like, at the very last second, dude, when you think, you know, you're out of luck, it's where God shines, you know, and he pulls through.
When things look the bleakest, when you're absolutely tested to the brink, like the edge of hopelessness and things like that happen, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes more to like that. Like we talked about coincidences, but it's like that happened, but it's probably like the feeling is more than just like, oh, this happened. Yes, I'm happy. It feels good. It's more like, it's like a paranormal type feeling. Like, I don't know, like something, like something else is doing it. Like, it's not just a coincidence that you could just be like, yeah, well, hey, stuff happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I struggle to put in words. I don't have the words to like how to describe how it feels, other than just like, dude, it's not a coincidence. Like, I feel in my heart like there's a difference. And I've talked to like my brother about some things, and we felt like similar to like when we weren't going to church often, but like the random times we would step into church, and it would feel like what the pastor was preaching is like exactly what I needed to hear, or what I was going through, or just like, it was almost like he was talking directly to me. Like, and I've gone like random times throughout the year before I like, you know, when I was in like high school and like college and stuff, and I was busy most of the time. And that was like one of the things too, where it's just like, okay, he's real. Cause like, there's like, I came specifically on a random Sunday for no reason, really, just to really, we would just go to surprise my grandma, cause she's always there, just, you know, make her happy and see her.
Yeah.
And we get told something that's like, oh, you know, and nuts.
Like, so the pastor doesn't know anything about you. He didn't know anything, or
you know,
that
you were today.
Prior to coming today. He didn't know you were coming today, but it just so happened, like, the one random day in the last 6-7 months, he happens to be talking or speaking on things that are very closely related to what's currently happening in your life. Like, no, there's no way, you know?
Yeah.
There's no other explanation.
And and Bert, do you have, like, because you've talked about, like, you've had, like, prophetic dreams, as you've seen things before they happen in your dreams, or you've like, this strong pull, like, this calling, like, people listening, do you feel like every Christian or everybody that's going to follow Jesus is going to have that? Or do you think there's some people that are just, because I feel like certain people, like, I don't feel like a super strong calling, and I feel like when people talk about that, even me sometimes, I feel like, well, damn, like, why don't I have that feeling? Like, I had the feeling, like, as I reached out to you, like, hey, let's do this episode, because I wanted to get on here and talk about it.
But, yeah.
Like, I also feel like maybe not every person following is going to have some crazy journey, some crazy impact, or something like that. Like, if you can impact one person, that's enough. Because, I mean, what did it say in the Bible? He left the herd to get the one.
Right.
The one sheep that was gone. So it's like, I feel like some people, like, you were like, yeah, you know, pray, and he'll tell you. I feel like some people aren't going to have those, like, you know, big purposes, those big things that they need to do, or and stuff like that. But it's like, as long as you follow, you know, what you know in your heart, if you seek him, he'll show himself to you. Maybe you're not the person that's meant to do something crazy, but maybe you're the person that's meant to change one person's mind, that if you change that person's mind, that person can change these people. And, you know, you technically don't know your effect, right? But what do you think about that?
Yeah, dude. So, you know, like, one verse that I like to go back to, man, is it's in Jeremiah. You know, God says, when you seek me with all of your heart, there you'll find me. And you know, I think about that verse because the reality of it is you can have as much of God as you want, because he holds nothing back, right? We hold ourselves back. And the truth of the matter is, dude, is like, the reality of it is you're either filling your cup up with the world or you're filling it up with God. And usually for me, I can tell you from my own experiences, like, when I was filling myself up more with the world, I always felt distant from God. And I noticed, you know, changes in my behavior or changes in, you know, a lot of my habits. But I noticed that when I would stay disciplined and, like, stick to, you know, reading my Bible, making sure that I was spending, you know, time with God, things in my life, I just felt, things aren't going to get easy. But I just felt more confident that I was going to go through the day and conquer whatever. Like, I just had confidence that no matter what trial came my way, I had that firm foundation to stand on. And at the end of the day, I just knew, like, you know, things are going to be good. And, you know, like I said, there's days now, dude, where I still, like, I fall short, man, and I'm not perfect. You know, I don't think that I'm, like, this high and mighty Christian. I'll say this, dude, like, I have, you know, flaws, and, like, there are times, dude, where I do fall short, but the difference is like, you gotta keep going. You know, you can't give up. You gotta be able to forgive yourself, you know, get right with God, and you just got to keep going, but you got to be intentional about it. Because if you're not intentional, then you're just going to get complacent in, you know, your faith. And, you know, I don't like talking on this too much, just for the negative, like, notions behind it, but, you know, like, hell is a real place, right? And
yeah.
You know, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God, and you know, the word, you know, hell's mentioned a lot in the Bible, and Jesus mentions hell numerous times. And so, I forgot there at first where I was going, and I got a little sidetracked there, but, basically, dude. Oh, okay. So I remember the, so the verse like that I was singing about was when Jesus says, you know, in the end times, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? And didn't I do this? He said, not everybody who calls on me is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he says, only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Like it's only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So, to kind of circle back to everything, you know, my mindset now is to just pretty much make sure that I'm being intentional with sowing seed and, you know, into other people, and just, being intentional with, just sharing Jesus, you know, sharing my faith. And you know, you, there's nothing you're going to do to be able to earn getting into heaven, you know? So it's,
there's, you know, there's a reason why there's a judgment day at the end. It's, you know, did you live, like you said, intentionally to the best of your ability through God's word, how it's supposed to be? Like you said earlier, there's a difference between acknowledging that God is the higher power and that he does exist, and then there's actually living in a way that God wants us to live. So those people that were calling out to God, like, hey, like, you know, can we get in? Can we get in? Like, you know, we know you exist. Like, hey, just because you call on me doesn't mean anything. You still haven't been living in a way that you're supposed to.
Yeah. And there's a really good parable in the Bible, where Jesus talks about, it's a parable of the tenants, and basically they were left, each of them was left a certain amount of, gold to do, you know, the purpose of it was the master wanted them to, what is it called? Like quadruple or, you know, basically produce more than what they had, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart. I can't really think of the word there, but you know, he wanted them to produce more than what they had, right? Make a profit, if you will,
and, off the gold.
You know, and there's a parable where he talks about how, you know, the first person tripled their gold, you know, and the second person, you know, times and a half, and then the other person just said they buried it and they didn't do anything with it, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, you wicked servant, and basically more or less called them lazy and said, throw them out into the outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus gave that parable and he said, you know, that's what you know, the hell is like, the kingdom of heaven, and you know, how things will be. And I think, you know, in that parable, he's kind of just talking about how, you know, you're given this life, right? And, you know, if you know, the whole purpose on life, or in life, right, is to, it's not, we were never created for us, right? We were, you know, created for God, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if in this life there's, you know, you're blessed with time, you're blessed with all these resources and things to do stuff, and you know, you never do anything with it. I think that's pretty much what he's talking about in the parable there. It's just like, you know, what did you do? You know, like you did nothing with this. And so,
yeah, I think the same can be true is if you continue to call out for God and you ask, you through prayer, you ask for these things. And like I said, sometimes it's not black and white when it's laid out right in front of you. Like, hey, God, I'm really struggling financially, or yada, 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 this, that, and the third. The wrong person could be expecting, like, oh, I just want money to pop out of the blue and bless me that way, right?
Yeah.
But the blessing could be disguised as a job opportunity came up, and did you take it to be able to make yourself some money so you weren't starving financially,
right?
You know, but a lot of people won't see it that way.
Yeah.
So it is pretty incredible.
You know, you brought up, you're talking about like hell and stuff like that. You know, like I was saying earlier, talking about like, you know, seeing things on TikTok and like times where I would put myself in like a negative tailspin where I get two in my head and be like, oh, I'm not going to make it to heaven. You know, I'm not doing enough. Like, why me? Why do I deserve it? And then, you know, I'd come across, you know, a good page where it's like not like trying to like scare anybody, but they're just like pretty much saying like nothing, like you just said, nothing you are going to do is going to be enough to get to heaven. Like, you get to heaven through the grace of God. You know, Jesus died for us. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Your Lord and Savior.
Yeah,
and that's it. Like, through him, that's how you get there, not through what you do. And yeah, another thing that the same guy that kind of like made me feel a little like, you know, maybe a little easier about it was like hell was not created for us. It wasn't created for people. Like, that's not like, well, hey, you're going to go here unless you, like, it wasn't created for us in mind.
Right.
Like, if you go there, you're going there by choice.
Yeah.
It's like, you're choosing, like, no, I don't want to be with God. Like, I don't, whether you're somebody who doesn't believe or you're, you know, whatever, if you're one of those people that knowingly want to, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm like a Satan worshiper, like somebody like that, like,
yeah,
that's who, like, that's, it's not like, if you're like somebody who believes in God and you're trying, like, just like everybody else, you fall short. And I think that's kind of what helped me not be so hard on myself for maybe not doing too much, or, you know, not feeling like I have to do something crazy. It's just like, that place ain't meant for me. That's not where I'm going, because that's not where I want to go. I want to go here. I believe in Jesus. Yeah. I've accepted him. I know he was raised from the dead. That's where I want to be. And, you know, and honestly, it was, you know, I forgot what song I heard this on. It was actually like a rap song, and they're talking about like the simplicity of getting saved trips up even people to this day. Like, it's as simple as accepting Jesus. Hey, you're saved, right? Like, that's it. You know, like, people on the outside are like, well, don't, like, why does anybody do all these crazy, nice, good things? And it's like, if you don't need to do it, why? What's the point? And it's like, well, when you're saved and you're living for God, like, you have those feelings. Like, I feel so happy and so good. I want more people to feel like this.
Yeah.
Like, right. If you could feel how I feel, if you could see things how I could see, like, you wouldn't think how, like, yeah, this world is kind of negative. There's a lot of bad things going on in this world, but it wouldn't affect you as much because you're not of this world. Like, I don't, like, what's going on here? Whatever it is, I have to live with it, but I don't want to be of this world.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, dude, I totally agree with what Dan said earlier. This could literally be like a 3-4 hour episode. We definitely had to do a part two.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things we can segue and, have little side quests, side conversations with what we've touched up on today.
For sure.
So I know you've been trapped in the car for a little bit.
Yeah, you're good. So like one little like closing thing that I'd like to say for like anybody who is listening, maybe you don't have a belief, you know, in Jesus or God or whatever. And, you know, maybe you have a million different questions, you know, cause that's kind of how I was. You know, I would encourage you, you know, just pray, just ask God, even if, you know, you think you sound silly, kind of just talking into the air, just be like, you know what, God, like, I don't know if you're real, truthfully, but if you could somehow just reveal yourself to me in some way, you know, and it's like, you don't even need, you know, and sometimes it's not going to be some supernatural miracle, but that there will be something, some sort of like small thing that God does to where you just know, like, okay, like, man, you did that for me. Like, I know that was you. That had to have been you, you know? And, I mean, it, you know, for somebody who's maybe just totally against it, you know, maybe you have that atheist mindset where you're just like, yeah, man, you guys are talking a bunch of nonsense, you know, just blowing smoke. You know, just, dude, remember this, it takes belief to believe that nothing happens when you die. So wouldn't you want to risk believing in something that would, you know, give you eternity?
Right. Yeah, I've heard that quote, like, why do you believe? Okay, well, like, if we die and I'm wrong, we're all in the same place. We're all just dead. It is what it is. But if we die and I'm right, my reward is, you know,
everlasting
worth
life.
Everything that, like, anything I gave up to, like, follow God or anything of this world that I ignored, like, it's worth it. Because when you think back, if we're talking about eternity versus the 80 years or whatever it is that we get here, it's flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally agree.
Yeah.
So I think those are sort of two great messages to close out on. Boys, do you have anything else that we want to add?
No, that was pretty good, man. We'll definitely have to do a part two on this, man. Cause yeah, this is one of those things where there's actually a lot more testimonies, that I can give that would probably encourage a lot of people on here listening. But maybe next episode we can get a little more in depth about prophetic dreams and even like things that have happened to me during the day, like when I was awake, like, you know, where God kind of lays prophetic thoughts on your mind that have literally like came true within moments. So we could hit on that more next time if you guys want.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with it. So yeah, definitely getting more testimonies. Prophetic dreams, any happenings of that such. So yeah, be on the lookout for a part two. We'll set that up sometime soon. So
cool.
Berto, appreciate you coming on, man. It was awesome. We're going to do it again.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. This has been the No Script Podcast.
We out. Still screaming. Still scheming.